Coming up, I'll tell you how I recovered from extreme burnout, and then should you be preparing for a bigger check in 2023? And, oh my gosh, a company lays off thousands of people via text? Let's go. All right, welcome to the Ken Kolbitz Show, where I help you win at work and in life. In other words, more money, more meaning. All right, going to get personal with you today. How I, man of the people, by the people, for the people, recovered from extreme burnout. In fact, it is this story that has the evolution of what I do today inside of it. If you are extremely burned out, borderline hopeless, wildly frustrated, deeply discouraged, I know exactly what you're feeling, and I have come out of it. And so I'm going to share a bit of my story. Now, I want to tease what we're doing this week. Each day this week, we're going to be doing a little bit of burnout boot camp, shall we say. And we're going to cover the five main causes of burnout in depth this week. But I have to share with you the gut-wrenching, agonizing burnout that I dealt with nearly 15 years ago. I was in the Atlanta suburbs, Stacy and the three kids. The kids were, let's say we had three, and they were at this point three under the age of five. Yikes. It's a miracle I have any hair at all, by the way. I don't recommend to any parent that you have kids that close. I mean, if you do it, you do it, and you got to get through it. I wouldn't recommend it, Alex. It was brutally hard. So let me give you the story. I'm working for myself, small business that Stacy and I were running together. It was an offshoot of a job that she had. She came home to be with the kiddos when we adopted Ty. And so that was going to be the path. And so we had worked, both of us, for a company in Atlanta. And the company had been sold 2 years prior to this story beginning. And I was laid off as a result of it. I was an executive. And many times when you're a part of an acquisition, the company that buys the company will lay off executives that they're inheriting because they don't feel like they need it, and they were bringing it. And again, they were very classy, very nice. I must tell you, this part of the story was, you know, they were very nice. They laid me off, very nice about it. I understood it, saw it coming, was prepared for it emotionally. So it wasn't terribly awful. Well, prior to that, I had been for about a year in a malaise of meaningless work. I was in a leadership role. I was good at the role. I had the talent for it. I was good at it, but I did not love the role. And the role was not creating results that mattered to me. And I was wrestling with what was my contribution, having felt like I had gotten to this point professionally to set myself up to run for political office. I had a great business resume, leadership resume. I'm in my early 30s. I could run for something and be a young politician. And now it was the path, and now I began the climb. That was the whole setup. But I realized a couple years prior to this that I don't think politics is it. And so I was just in a state of flux. That was contributing a factor to, I don't know where I want to go. But I kept just going with it. And so I'm in a meaningless job, getting good money. I'm talented, driving results. And so the malaise began to tear away at my heart. What are you doing? You're not doing politics, but you're not doing anything else that you love. You're just kind of hovering. Not stuck, but hovering. Just kind of hanging in there. Well, then the company gets bought. I get laid off. So now, where I've been hovering, just kind of hanging out, now I've been pushed out of the nest. I got to do something. Do I go work for somebody else or work for myself? Well, opportunities begin to come my way to do consulting. Stacy was going to keep doing what she was doing for a while. We had the idea that maybe we could do it as our side hustle, maybe turn it into a company. Well, when we adopted Ty, she came home. We said, all right, let's do that. And so we created our own company. I was doing consulting and then helping her with sponsorship sales. And we were a small company that sold sponsorships for live events. Everything from exhibit booths to ads and conference notebooks to big sponsorships that involve stations. And I got to tell you something, we were good at it. I did the selling, she did the logistics, and I worked from home, and I was dying. What had already started working for a company in an executive position just continued when I was working for myself. This idea of working from home, I was doing work from home before it was popular. I worked for myself. I was my boss. Turns out I was a really sucky boss for me. Let me tell you what it looked like. I wouldn't start work until 9:30, 10 o'clock because I was just putting it off. Working with the kids, and that was my excuse. I'd help Stacy out in the morning, but I was just trying to delay going to work for me. Couldn't finish fast enough. I would be in the middle of a deal, and I would be half in the conversation. Half working with the client, the other half just going, what is next for me? The agony began, though, not with work each day, but when I would go to bed each night. Couldn't go to sleep. I'd read. I'd watch awful infomercials, try to fall asleep. Could not fall asleep because I would lay awake at night and I would stare at the ceiling and I realized I was 32, 33 years of age and I was not happy professionally. I was not doing what I was created to do, but even worse than the knowledge of knowing that I wasn't doing what I was created to do, I wasn't sure what it was. Is there anything worse than that? To know you're not happy, but to not know why? It's horrible. It feels so confusing. And then the confusion turns into disillusion and discouragement and despondency and depression. I was taking care of the family. We weren't struggling financially. But I'm here to tell you, that doesn't salve the wound. The wound of feeling as though you have wasted your life. Now, that was not true, but that's how I felt. I was not doing something that was lighting me up. I was not dreaming or envisioning a future anymore. I was just trying to make it through each day. Just trying to fall asleep at night. But my soul ached. If that's you today, I want to tell you what I wish I could have told myself. Number one, I hadn't wasted anything in my life. The experiences, the pain, the frustration, all of that would one day be bottled up, purified, and redirected. And that's my hope for you. That if you feel as though the flame is completely burned out, I got good news for you. If you're listening to me, you're watching me right now, and you're experiencing the burnout that I did, I got news for you. The flame is not extinguished because you are alive, and we're going to help you this week. We're going to go deep. What I had to understand was what was the source of the burnout that was fogging my brain to where I could not see a vision. I literally couldn't dream because I was so stuck in the fog of burnout. We're going to break it down all week this week. You don't want to miss it. Get your friends, your family to watch each day. We're going to go deep and we're going to help you out. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Hey, if you're a business owner and you don't know your numbers, I hate to say it, but you don't know your business. And when markets are shifting, it's even more important. You've got to do everything you can to set yourself up for success. You don't have to be in the dark. Over 31,000 businesses, including our team here at Ramsey, know their numbers because they use NetSuite by Oracle, the number one cloud financial system. NetSuite gives you visibility and control of your financials, planning, budgeting, and inventory, so you can actually manage risk, get reliable forecasts, and improve your margins. Having everything in one place has saved our team hours each week since we made the switch to NetSuite. No more jumping between three or four different systems. We have quick access to what's going on in our business at all times. NetSuite is a game changer. So head to NetSuite.com/Ken to get a product tour today. That's netsuite.com/Kent. Hail to the victors, the mighty victors of the Michigan Wolverines. I did not want to address it at the start of the show. We had business to get to. We got a lot to get to in this segment, but I know some of you watching are not surprised. Some of you watching are surprised. It never fails to surprise people on social media where people realize that I'm a Michigan fan. I'm a Southerner. I know I've got the accent. My dad went to school there. My mom's from there, so there you go. And so when you're born and raised in a house that's a radical indoctrinated fan base, you either accept it or reject it, and I accepted it. And so Michigan vanquished our bitter foe and rival, the Buckeyes from Ohio, and it was glorious, Alex. If you want to know if I really am rabid, you can go to my Instagram page. You can see the reel there. My wife was downstairs because my son and I are superstitious, and we're the only ones allowed to watch the game in the bonus room. So everybody else in the family has to watch it in another location. Listen, Amanda, no judgment. We love Stacy, all right? But she gets it. So she's downstairs in the living room, and when we the big breakaway touchdown that really sealed the game by Donovan Edwards, well, she was filming downstairs listening to Chase and I lose our ever-loving minds. Go watch it on Instagram, at Ken Coleman. That's real, by the way. I had no idea she was filming. Ran downstairs to kiss my wife because that's what you do when you vanquish your bitter foe. You celebrate and love your family. Nathan, you know what I'm talking about. When the Vikings win big, you want to give your wife a smooch. It's just natural. And so I lost my mind and almost my voice, by the way, Alex. I rested the voice yesterday because I was hoarse yesterday, Saturday evening. There's too much yelling and screaming going on. All right. So thus, I've got the Michigan sweater on today, and there you go. I don't know that the chat room really cares. I don't think they're saying much about it at all, are they? Oh, they did? Okay, very good. All right. All right, let's get to some news here. This is what you come to the show for. I reported on this last week, but this is popping up, so I'm going to hit this very quickly and move on. A new survey from Willis Towers Watson, a consulting firm, has showed that overall salary increases in the United States will be the most since 2007. So, again, should you expect a bigger pay? I don't like the word expect. That could put you in a negative emotional state. I have a friend who recently did their annual review and they demanded a raise and they got canned. Careful. So don't expect it, but understand that we still are in a very, very good environment. So if you're thinking about a growth plan, you're showing value, you're not demanding anything, could happen for you. All right, next story. Okay, I'm going to save that one for last. Here's the next one. This is employers rethink the need for college degrees in a tight labor market. Duh. Google, Delta, IBM, all reducing requirements for sub positions. This is a great trend. I told you it was going to happen. I'm glad it's happening. I hope it catches on. Companies such as Google, Delta Airlines have reduced education requirements and shifted hiring to focus more on skills and experience. Duh. By the way, a kid fresh out of college with a diploma doesn't have much of either one of those categories, skills or experience. Maryland cut the college degree requirements for many state jobs earlier this year. Smart move by Governor Larry Hogan. And incoming Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro campaigned on a similar initiative. We'll see how that goes. It led to a surge in filling state government positions in Maryland. U.S. job postings requiring at least a bachelor's degree were 41% in November. So 41% of all job postings in November required at least a bachelor's degree. Now, that's down from 46% at the start of 2019. It still needs to drop more. We had a caller, I think, last week that said that she couldn't get a job. She had 20-some years experience, I believe, she said. And she couldn't get hired, which that was her narrative, but she had applied, looked at several jobs that she had tons of experience with, and they all required a degree. And I told her right there on the air, that's the dumbest thing ever. I wish I could call every one of those companies, HR people, get them on the line and go, can I ask you a question? If I had someone who had 20 years experience, but no college degree, would you look at them right now? What do you think that that HR director would say to me on the phone? They'd probably go, well, yeah, I'd probably like to talk to them. But wait a second, your website says they got to have a degree. This is nonsensical. It's the old children's story. The emperor has no clothes. The emperor's walking around, thinks he has an invisible gown on. He's naked. Nobody wants to tell the emperor that he's naked. Like, at what point do leaders and companies go, hey, listen, we're having a hard time getting talent. Why do we have the degree requirement? Cue the Jeopardy music. I mean, it's so stupid. The companies that are doing it, we're talking big time companies, Delta, largest airline in the world. What are they looking for? Skills and experience. The diploma, it's worthless. Rip it up. All right. I've sufficiently freaked out some of you with that last statement. The shift comes as the demand for workers remains high and unemployment is low. Job postings far outpace the number of unemployed people looking for work. 10.7 million openings in September compared with 5.8 million unemployed. That does not include, by the way, 7 million men aged 22 to 55 who aren't even looking for work. The 5.8 million unemployment number are people who are actually wanting to work. So there's a huge gap and demand remains high. More than 100,000, here's more information. More than 100,000 people in the U.S. have completed Google's online college alternative program that offers training in fast-growing fields such as digital marketing and project management. You know what the number one course is for Ramsey Academy, my partnership with Ramsey Education here? It's project management. Every one of our cohorts sells out. You know what? I mean, it's hundreds of dollars. That's it. And just weeks of your time. Bethel Tech. We have over 50 people right now from the Ken Coleman Show audience that are in a nine-month program, $15,000 with Bethel Tech, to jump right into the technology industry. The majority of its U.S. roles at IBM no longer require a four-year degree. This is IBM, gold standard technology company. The majority of their roles don't require a four-year degree. Delta eased its educational requirements for pilots at the start of this year, saying a four-year college degree was preferred but no longer required. Can I just tell you something as a guy who flies the friendliest guys? I don't care if my pilot has a degree. I just want to know that he's really experienced and can land the freaking plane. That's all I care about. I want to get home so I can watch the next Michigan beatdown of Ohio. This is what I want. I slipped that in there again. I couldn't help myself. Okay, Walmart, the country's largest private employer, says it values skills and knowledge gained through work experience and that 75% of its U.S. salaried store management started their careers in hourly jobs. Walmart. All right. All right, nominee for worst company ever. Here it is. I needed it. I don't have a drum roll, do I? I don't. All right, here it is. Mississippi-based United Furniture Industries. Nominee for worst company all time. I'm putting it on the list. I need to compile a list. And every year, give out my awards. Maybe I'll do that. All right, we'll see. Around 2,700 workers at United Furniture Industries lost their jobs on Monday, the Monday prior to Thanksgiving. And you know how they found out? A memo via email or text. Most of the workers were sleeping and woke up to this news. Email and text. In a follow-up email, United Furniture Industry said the layoff is expected to be permanent and all benefits will be terminated immediately without provision of COBRA. Now, COBRA is the federal law that provides people who lose their jobs with the option to keep their employer-sponsored health insurance coverage. So it's just, see ya, bye Felicia, you're out. This is my favorite thing. The reason for the layoffs? The board of directors came up with this statement. Unforeseen business circumstances. Well, that's a bold-faced lie. If you're in the furniture business and they had fired their CEO, COO, and head sales VP in the summertime, you're telling me that they didn't know things were tanking then? This is garbage. I hope they never sell another piece of furniture ever. It's awful. Treat people with dignity. They knew this was coming. Come on. A memo, a text, an email? Shame on you. All right, welcome back, everybody. Hey, I want to say hi to Alexander Daly, who is joining us live on YouTube for the first time. How about that, Alexander? I see you. Thank you, sir. He says, first time watching Ken live. How do we get the opportunity to ask Ken for coaching? Well, it's a toll-free number. It goes like this, 844-747-2577, 844-747-2577. And everybody in the chat room, make Alexander feel welcome. I mean, I want a lot of love coming at him. I want him to be slightly overwhelmed. And if he has questions about my sweater, I'll let you all explain. I've already talked about it enough today. Let's go to Brooke in Bryan, Texas. Brooke, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, how are you?
Brooke, I'm living the dream. What are you doing?
I am going to talk to you and then go to class.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
I might. You know what? Depending on how this goes, I might give you a permission slip to skip class. We'll see how it goes.
That would be great.
Yep. All right. So what's going on?
So I'm currently majoring in nutrition.
Okay, Brooke, hold on 1 second. Let's get your phone, if you can get it maybe positioned right on your mouth. You're a little bit muffled.
Is this better?
It is better. All right, go ahead.
Okay, so I'm currently majoring in nutrition to become a registered dietitian, but I'm currently thinking about becoming a teacher. I just still don't know, though. I feel pretty lost, and I'm scared I will pick a career that I will get burnt out on.
Okay, all right. Well, I want to get to that fear in a second, but I want to start by saying all you have to do is actually observe and ask. That's it. Observe and ask, and your heart's going to reveal to you. So you don't need to be really afraid. I want to get to what's behind the fear in a moment, because I think that's the biggest issue today. But from a practical nature, Ken, how do I pick? I mean, is nutrition the right thing? Do I want to be, I thought about being a teacher. Okay, we don't have to worry about that. All we have to do is two words, observe and ask. Now, do you understand what I'm saying, or you need me to unpack that for you?
I guess like a little bit.
Great. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to observe, whether it's online, if there's a nutritionist who has an Instagram page, a YouTube channel locally in the area where you're going to school, and you can reach out to them and say, hey, is it appropriate? Do you allow people to shadow your work? And that's what I mean by observe. If they've got Instagram reels and posts, go observe. Find five awesome nutritionists that have a good following and good content on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, whatever. And just observe. In other words, digest. Okay? And when you're digesting and observing, it's going to be pretty apparent to your heart. Your heart is either going to get excited or more interested or disinterested. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, now listen. If you get with somebody, you ask lots of questions. Favorite part of your day? Worst part of your day? Best way to get qualified to do what you do. How'd you grow your business? Do you understand the observe is to, it's almost from afar and up close, but then beyond observing, I want to ask a lot of questions, and you're very, very smart, Brooke. You know the kind of questions that you need to ask, true or false?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right.
True.
I think I hear a smile on your face. Is this true?
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's good. And the reason that that is good is because now you realize, wait a second, I don't need to be afraid anymore. Is that true?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yes. Now, I want to spend the remainder of our time, because remember, we're working on a permission slip for you to miss class. I know your professor will love getting that from me. What is behind this fear that you're going to make the wrong decision?
Well, I guess, you know, I'm in college. I don't want to waste my college degree. And then I've already picked a bunch of different careers, and then I learn about them, and I kind of like lose interest.
But isn't that good? Isn't that good?
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
I would rather be talking to Brooke, who has picked several different areas of professional interest, and then she's canceled them out, as opposed to talk to Brooke, who picked one, never researched it, didn't listen to her gut, and calls me 10 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
So I like the fact that you're crossing stuff off the list.
Yeah.
But I want to go deeper. Is there something from your environment, your story, where you don't have confidence or you feel like a flake in some way? I just feel like I hear that on you. And if I'm wrong, tell me.
No, I would say that's pretty true.
Where's that coming from?
I don't.
Yeah, you do.
I don't really.
Where's that lack of confidence coming from? What's your best guess?
I guess I would say it's a little bit in the way I was raised.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's a narrative in your head that you're going to screw up or that you can't succeed. Is that true?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm so sorry. I listen, this is what matters. This was the part of the question. And that's what's driving this almost frenetic, I'm looking at this. And it's like you're almost afraid to let your heart choose. Is that true?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Are you worried about disappointing your family?
No, not really so much anymore.
Good.
Maybe used to, but.
Yeah. So, you know what's fun about the start of the phone call?
Mm-hmm.
Is that you said nutrition and or teaching. And you know what's great about both of those? They involve the same core missional result. You want to influence people. True or false?
Mm-hmm. No, that's true.
So, I want to take some pressure off of you, and I mean this. Because you've listened or watched me enough to trust me to call me today. So you've heard me say something along these lines.
Mm-hmm.
But Brooke, you could be very happy and successful as a teacher and or a nutritionist. And neither one of them would be a wrong decision. Because it's going to come down to the environment in which you do either one of those things. Because the result, while it looks different to the average viewer to look in and go, well, Brooke's a nutritionist or Brooke's a teacher. See, I go below the surface result. And so whether I'm helping a woman or a man turn their nutrition life around and their consumption and maybe turn their physical life around and probably their mental and emotional life around, because they start treating their body like the machine that God created to be. And all of a sudden it starts performing better and they start looking better, feeling better. I mean, that is a cascade, a waterfall of unbelievable positive results. Well, so that's the outward result. But underneath, you're just teaching them. And then if you're teaching high schoolers or college kids or elementary school kids, and you find that little kid that's like a little Brooke who just needed to be encouraged and believed in and challenged, and that outward result looks different than nutrition, but it's the same result. You know what it is? It's influence, Brooke. It's influence. So I want you to go back to the homework assignment I gave you. And I want you to observe and ask. And I want you to listen to your heart. And I want you to, the voice inside your head that says you're not enough, the voice inside your head that says you're going to make the wrong decision, the voice inside your head that says you'll never be a success. I can tell you something. That's not your voice. That's a voice from the pit of hell. And it's influenced by experience and people and environment, and all that stuff. But it's not true. Do you believe me?
I believe you.
All right. I'm so proud of you and thank you for being vulnerable. I think you've touched so many people today. I really do. And I hope you're confident. So I want you to hang on the line. I'm going to give you the Get Clear assessment, which is going to give you further confidence, and I'm going to give you From Paycheck to Purpose. The assessment is the compass that'll help you verify the North Star, the mountaintop, whatever you want to use there. And then the book is the guide to help you climb up the mountain. Brooke, I'm proud of you, and I appreciate you. Hang on the line. Brooke and everybody else, remember this, you matter, and you do have what it takes. Press on.
Thanks for listening to The Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following @KenColeman.